You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Welcome to the One Girl Revolution podcast. I'm your host, Kate Bryan, and we are broadcasting live from the Podcast Detroit studios here in Royal Oak, Michigan. Thank you to everyone who's listening live and to all of you catching this on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and the Podcast Detroit app. Like we do every week, we'll be posting the link to our show and the show notes on our Facebook page, so be sure to check us out and follow us on at facebook.com/onegirlrev. That's the number one girl, R-E-V. You can also find me on Twitter at Ms. Kate Bryan. Send us your thoughts, comments, stories. We want to hear from you. So send us all of that. On today's episode, we're going to talk about motherhood and sisterhood. I'm so excited. We have some really special in-studio guests to tackle this important discussion. But I want to start out with Dawn Dobia, who, don't let her name fool you, she is as Irish as they come. She's like a sister to me. We became friends really in our adult years. I think I was 18 when we became friends, but we quickly became dear friends, sisters, confidants, partners in crime.
And don't forget, we're cousins too.
And we're cousins. I was getting to that. So we also share the same Irish blood. Her dad is my mom's first cousin, or their first cousin. So that would make us second cousins.
Your guess is
I think
good as
it's
mine.
Second cousins or first cousins once removed. I think it's second cousins. But I'm so excited to have Dawn on this episode, not just because I adore her, but I wanted to bring her on because she has so much insight about life, motherhood, being a woman, being a one girl revolution. And I think she has so much to share with the world. And I've learned so much from her. I learned so much from her on a daily basis. So I know you'll adore her as much as I do. So Dawn, welcome to the show.
Aw, thank you. Thank you for having me. We're very excited to be here.
And you said we're because you brought two very special guests who are in studio with us, Patrick and Kellen Dobia. Say hi, guys.
Hi.
Are you excited to be here?
Yes.
Yeah? Are you excited that your mom's going to be on the podcast?
Yeah.
We thought it was really fitting, Dawn and I thought it was really fitting that she brought the boys with her into the studio as we talk about motherhood. And the boys have been so good. We're so excited. How old are you guys? Patrick, how old are you?
7.
Kellen, how old are you?
4.
4? Oh my gosh. And this is your first time on the radio. Yeah? Are you excited?
You have to say yes or no, buddy, not shake your head, because no one can hear you shake your head. Okay.
Well, I have a lot of questions for you guys, but I'm going to start with your mom. Is that okay? Yeah. All right. They're shaking their heads. So right. That's okay. Yeah, we have a bunch of cool things to talk about with you, too. But this episode, I wanted to talk about motherhood and sisterhood. And I think sisterhood in particular, we'll maybe start there because we became friends. We'll kind of talk about our friendship first.
Sure.
We became friends. The story, we probably both have different recollections of the story, but I remember being 18. I just been the runner-up of this competition in Detroit called the Maid of Erin. And you were organizing a bunch of events around St. Patrick's Day, bringing firemen from Detroit or from Dublin over. And my mom like walked up to you at this funeral for a family member. And I had seen you at events, but we had never really like met or become buddies at that stage. And I was 18 and my mom walked up to you and said, hey, maybe, you know, I wanted to make sure you met my daughter, that you guys, you know, you're going to be kind of running in the same circles. And I think, I'm not sure what was going through your mind, but I kind of remember that it was kind of like, oh my gosh, is she asking me to babysit this girl?
No, not at all. It was really cute. So long story short, I was 23. I had just a few months ago gotten back from taking a super fun trip with my girlfriend who was living in Paris at the time. And we had taken a quick jump over to Ireland and kind of putzed all around the whole country and met some firefighters in Dublin who then showed us around to other parts of the country. So, of course, I had to repay their hospitality and invite them to come to Detroit. Never in a million years did I think they'd actually come, but they did. And so as I was trying to get that set up, yes, your mom came running to me and she's like, it would just be so great. You and Kate are so much alike. You remind me so much of each other. I would love, you know, you don't have to babysit her or anything, okay. But she said, I would love if, you know, you kept an eye out for her. And, you know, I'm nervous letting her go to do this. And I said, of course I will. Family is, it's so important. And, you know, she's part of the big Irish excitement, and I couldn't not keep an eye on her. That's what I do. So funny that, you know, that's been my life. I keep an eye on people. I take care of kids. I have worked with kids my whole life, but it all started out there.
Yeah. We became fast friends and just
immediately.
And I just remember us, like, the first event, going around in this party bus and, like, going to the parade and all the different things. And we just quickly became 100% dear friends, you know. And so it's cool how that can happen. And I think it's so rare, kind of why I wanted to just touch on sisterhood, is it's so rare that women, I think it's hard for women in their adult years, especially, to find good, true friendships. And you and I really, you have been able to find that, you know.
I've been very, very lucky. I have so many great friends, and honestly, I don't even, sometimes I don't know how I get this lucky, because I don't consider myself to be a great friend. I would love to put more effort into my friendships and spend more time with the people I love. I am constantly scrambling to, you know, make sure that I divide myself up between everybody evenly. But I've been blessed with the kindest, most wonderful, loving, supportive people in my life. And, you know, I collect a few every stage of life I go through, I guess. And it's been a beautiful thing. And I'm also blessed that I get to be really close friends with family members. You can't beat a cousin who's a best friend. Mm-hmm. That, you know, makes all the difference in the world, too.
It's so true. And, like, I think that you are such an incredible friend. And even I was at your birthday party, which your mom is 29, right? Yeah, that's
right, boys.
So 29, at her 29th,
don't forget.
At her 29th birthday. And how old am I?
Remember?
Kellen said I was a teenager earlier, which I like to say, yeah, that's right. I am a teenager. but I was at your birthday, and it was so beautiful to see so many different women from all different stages of life that you've collected, like you just have collected, but it is a reflection of that you are such a dear friend to so many people. Oh. And I know that, like, it's hard often for us to see, you know, how good of a friend we are to people. But I think when you are a good friend, good friendships will follow you, you know, and people will sit through it. In the best relationships, you know, there are always going to be friendships where it's like, you know, you're a better friend to certain people. And then there are other relationships where the other person's a better friend to you than you are to them. But the best friendships or the most dearest friends are the ones where it's really reciprocal. Like, it goes, it's
right.
Like, not, it's never going to be 50-50, but
right. Or the ones that understand that it might be weeks or months before you can talk again or get together, because they understand that your life is chaotic. Or I think my good friends also know that, although I'm not great at seeing them on a regular basis, if they call in an emergency, I'm the first one there. You know, they know that I can always be there for support, even if I can't be there in person. I can help out in every way I can. So, I'm really, really blessed and lucky that I've met so many wonderful, strong, amazing women in my life, and have been able to collect them as my friends.
Yeah. And we all need community. I think women, we don't talk about that enough, where women actually need community. You know, they need people around them in all stages of life, whether it be your single years, your motherhood, even when you're married, you know, even as a wife, you need community, and you need people around you to support you. And that's what we really all should be looking for, is like, but it takes work, and it's building it.
It does. Yep. And that's, I think I hear so many moms especially, but, you know, it's women who have moved to different cities and things like that, who, you know, struggle because they don't have kinship with other people nearby. They don't have good friends. And, I found, at least as a mom, it was easier to find friends because you could sign up for classes with your babies and meet other moms that way. But I think, you know, women that don't have children, it's hard to find ways to meet friends, you know, if you haven't had them for many years. We don't always want to be friends with our coworkers or things like that. So it's something to put yourself out there and introduce yourself to people. I'm extroverted. I have no problem walking up to people, but I know more people than me have trouble with that.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk about you, Dawn, for a little bit, just about your life. You have so many different. I love being walking alongside you throughout all your stages of life. Because like when we met, you know, you were just finishing up, I think, your undergrad, 2023, yep. Probably finishing up your undergrad. But then you went on for graduate education. Like you've done a lot of things. And in a lot of ways, your life is, I'm sure you look at your life and you're like, oh, I'm very ordinary. But you also are very extraordinary because you've done all these incredible things like what you're doing now with like your music classes and different things. So can we start just talking? You went to MSU.
Sure. Yeah. I'm a Spartan, die hard. I graduated high school. I knew from day one what I was going to do. My life was going to be centered around working with children. It's just where my heart was. So I went to Michigan State and I got a degree in early child development, which pretty much makes you really only available to be like a preschool teacher or work with young children. So, you know, right out of high school, I got a job working with the Head Start program. I was a teacher. I was a special needs coordinator. I did lots of stuff with them. I moved on from there to the early on program. And with that, I was a developmental specialist. I tested children from birth to three to see if they had any type of developmental delay and then would refer them for services from there on out. I loved both working with both programs. They were wonderful, great start out. And then I got pregnant with Patrick, and the intention was to go back to the early on program after I had him. And being that they don't pay early childhood educators enough at all, my husband and I sat down and said, well, by the time we pay for daycare and gas, really, you're not going to be bringing any money home at all anyway. So we thought, okay, we're going to try this and I'm going to stay home with him and see how it goes. So for about a year, I was a stay-at-home mom with Patrick, and I can't sit still, and I'm an early childhood educator. So I joined playgroups, and I made playgroups, and I went to Mommy and Me yoga class, and I invited everybody over to our house to have the kids play in Jell-O and noodles and flour and any sensory product I could find, because for me, I knew that kids really, their brain develops when they're in action and doing things. And I had a blast with it. And I made a ton of friends and enjoyed every second. After a year and discussing it with my husband, we had the offer of another family that we knew. They were looking for a nanny for their little boy who was just 3 months younger than mine. So immediately I took up with this family and I gained a second son. And I had a blast with the two boys. And we did all the same stuff. We did all the play groups. And we went to the library story time. And we went to the zoo. And we had so much fun. And then that little boy had a baby brother. I gained another one. And we just continued on with this and enjoying it thoroughly. And then I became pregnant with Kellen. And during my pregnancy with Kellen, I kept thinking, oh boy, this is going to be tough. Four boys, all under 4 years old. How am I ever going to manage this? So I, after talking with my husband, I told the family that I was nannying for that as much as I love them dearly, I think that I probably needed to focus on my own family for a little while. And then Kellen came. And so again, for a while, stay-at-home mom, enjoying myself thoroughly, having a great time with my two boys. And boy, I'm really glad I made that choice, because any moms know out there, moms that have more than one child, that children can be so different. And whereas Patrick was a really laid back, easygoing baby, Kellen was the opposite. He didn't eat. He didn't sleep ever, 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 ever. I want to say he didn't sleep through the night till he turned four. And then, you know, so I was really glad that I had the time to focus on them. But again, I couldn't sit still for long. So not long after that, I was approached by a friend of mine who had just started a Lego building program and asked if I would be the teacher of her preschool Lego building classes. Of course, what could I say? She had found a babysitter for my little one that could help out. And here I am again, back in the ring of teacher. And I had a blast with that, too. It's so exciting to be able to work with kids in so many different realms and to see them grow through so many different types of activities. It's something I had never done before. So I had to do a lot of tutorials on how to build Legos. At the time, Patrick was, I think, 3, almost 4, and he was teaching me because he knew better than I did at that point how to build Legos. So it was definitely a pretty amazing experience and a lot of fun. And now I feel like I'm a Lego expert, so I can put just about anything together.
You should put that on your resume.
I should, right? I know. And then, I mean, after that, that kind of dissolved. The classes weren't filling up the way she wanted them to. And so we kind of moved on from there. And I had been taking both of the boys since Patrick was about a year old to a local music class at our community center in our city. And I just adored the teacher. I kind of became friends with her. She came up to me one day and she said, listen, the city would like me to do a second class. I don't want to do it. Would you be willing to teach a music class? And I looked at her and I said, I don't have any musical background. Like, I don't think that that's right. And she goes, what? Who are you kidding? I've heard you sing. You sing beautifully. I'll teach you how to play guitar. And she goes, really, your early childhood background makes you perfect for this position. So lo and behold, here I am again teaching music classes. Never in a million years would I think that I'd be on this path. And I'm having, again, a blast with it. I'm still working on practicing the guitar. It's not coming to me as easily as I thought it would, but, you know, we're getting there. And I'm just having such an amazing time finding new songs and activities and things to challenge the kids and different rhythms. And I like introducing them to, you know, songs of different cultures. And it's really been amazing. And then just to top it all off, because I've learned that if you just continue to show up places long enough, they ask you if you want to work there. The school where my boys go to gave me a call at the end of the summer this summer and said that they needed a 3-year-old preschool teacher one day a week, just on Fridays, because their teacher that they've had for many years only works Monday through Thursday. So, of course, well, who wouldn't want the opportunity to work at the same place where their kids are all day? So I jumped at that opportunity, and here I am now. I teach toddler music classes, and I'm teaching 3-year-old preschool one day a week. And it's a whirlwind, but it's amazing. And I don't know how the boys feel about seeing my face at their school every Friday. I think they like it.
They're smiling, so right. I think that they like it.
You'll have to forgive them. They're eating snacks right now, so.
That's okay. This is real. This is real life right now.
Right.
Well, and I think it's so beautiful, Dawn, because you just have been a mom. You've been an active mom, and I think it's a lesson to so many other moms out there. Like, look for opportunities in your life. Like, we all know that everybody gets busy, and particularly moms have so much on their plate.
Oh, yeah.
But look for opportunities. You can volunteer at your kid's school, and maybe it doesn't turn into a job, but maybe right. It turns into some other volunteer opportunity, or they ask you to teach a music class, or, you know, right. Something else that's definitely out of your comfort zone. But your story is really just, it's real. And
I guess the idea is, be open for anything.
Yeah.
Show up and be open for anything. And you never know what'll drop into your lap. Because even if you're not a teacher, well, who knows who you're going to meet, you know, when you're volunteering? Maybe you'll find someone who's looking for, you know, exactly what it is you do. But
yeah, and moms too. Like, moms are some of the best teachers out there, whether they have teacher training or not. I mean, it's kind of, you learn as you go, I imagine. You know, it's kind of on the job training for a lot of moms, you know?
100%, especially because, you know, you think you have it all figured out, and then, you know, your kids throw you and you're like, oh, oops, my bad. I don't know what I'm doing. Okay.
And I bet you've learned so much from these boys.
Oh, so much. And I have eaten crow so many times. And I have apologized to many people who I gave advice to in the past. Because, you know, again, if I've learned nothing else as a mom, I've learned that you need to do whatever is best for you at that particular time. Whether it's co-sleep with your child, feed your child formula, you know, yell at your child. Do it's whatever you need to do to survive that moment. You do it. It doesn't matter. We're all moms. One of the things that bothers me most about moms is the way they judge each other. And I get it. You know what? I've been there. We all think about it sometimes, but really we're all just in it to just raise these kids to be, you know, fairly functional, decent human beings. So however you need to get there is how you get there.
And moms, I feel like moms are so often, I don't know if it's that they're overlooked, but people don't realize how much work it actually is to be a mom.
Yep.
And there was a sculpture that I sent you that I'm going to post on our Facebook page. But it was a sculpture of a woman who was kind of like leaned over. She had a newborn baby. She was leaned over holding the baby, and it had all the different things were stacked on her back. So a washer,
oh, sure.
A dryer, dishes, all the different things. And I actually posted it on Facebook a couple of months ago and got slammed by, surprisingly, a couple of guys who were like, oh, this is a political statement. And I said, no, actually, I think it's a really powerful cultural statement and a cultural conversation that needs to happen. I'm obviously not a mom. Anybody who's listening to this podcast knows that I don't have children. But I've just become overly aware, especially over the past year. I don't even know what kind of sparked it, but I've become overly aware of how much my friends who are moms are doing and like how much the world doesn't you know, recognize all of that. And even people, yep. you know, oftentimes like in our own circles, don't realize how much moms are actually doing.
Oh, even in your own family. I love my husband dearly, but you know, there's been once or twice that he's like, seriously, why couldn't you have gotten this done today? You're just sitting there all day.
And I eating just bonbons
right,
or whatever.
Right.
And watching soap operas.
I think maybe a year or so ago, I'd posted something on Facebook. You know, it takes me an entire 2 hours to empty the dishwasher because while I'm emptying the dishwasher, I'm interrupted 78 times. Mom, can you get me down from the top bunk of the bunk bed? Mom, my Legos broke. Can you help me? Mom, I need you to come wipe my butt. Mom, I need you to do this. And it's so, you know, it's like, oh, it's, I can never get anything done, it feels like sometimes. But it's overwhelming sometimes. And I really feel for working moms. I saw a meme recently that said, you know, we expect moms to work like they don't have children, and we expect them to raise children like they don't work. And I think that that's pretty true. You know, we put so much pressure on moms, no matter what they do, whether they stay home, work part-time, whatever. It's, you've got to balance everything. Today is a perfect example. I'm at the school picking my son up, and everybody's like, oh, so everybody brought their shoes to leave out for St. Nicholas to put candy in tonight. And I went, oh, we were supposed to do that? They're like, yeah, it was on the memo sent home earlier this week. I was like, oh, clearly I didn't read that part. So thankfully, you know, we have snow boots at school. I'm like, quick, take your shoes off, go leave one, and just wear your snow boots home. We'll be fine. Don't tell anybody.
So Patrick's wearing his snow boots in the studio right now.
His feet are toasty warm. But, you know, that's the thing. Being a mom, you feel like it's so hard to stay on top of everything, to be so organized and have every school project ready and have, you know what day library books go back and know, you know, get all the laundry done and get all the grocery shopping done. And, you know, our house never looks as nice as I would like it to. I never get to organize it the way I would like it. It's just, you know, priorities. So my priority is, you know, number one, keeping us safe and healthy. Number two, having a little fun. And the rest falls into place after that.
Dawn, what is the most rewarding thing about being a mom, and what is the most difficult thing?
I would say the most rewarding thing is just watching these sweet boys, like in their sweet moments, when the things that come out of their mouths are, you know, you're like, oh my goodness, really? You really think that? You're really a kind and loving soul? Okay, I did something right. Especially when they're kind to each other. Nothing tears a mom up, I think, than watching, you know, two of her children show love to each other. But even when they show kindness to strangers, Patrick's really good at that. He's an expert at claw machines. And every time he wins a stuffed animal from a claw machine, he almost always gives it to our server at the restaurant. And he has tickled so many people and just really made their days just by some small act of kindness. And it's stuff like that that makes, you know, being a mom so rewarding. You know, I just watching them grow and do the right thing and show kindness and love. That's a big thing in our family, is kindness to everyone around us, no matter what. So the challenging thing is, I think sometimes it doesn't matter how many friends you have. Sometimes being a mom is lonely. Like you have a bad day and you don't want to necessarily call and tell your friends about like how you were a horrible mom that morning and, you know, screamed at your kids as you sent them off to school and you're feeling sad and stuff like that. And it just it can sometimes be a really lonesome job. And, you know, the dads don't always get it. Sometimes, you know, there are dads out there that do, but sometimes you just, you know, you just feel kind of lonely in your place as a mom. And you're always questioning whether you're doing it right. Mm. And I think all moms do that. And the thing is there's no right or wrong when it comes to being a mom. It's just doing your best. And we all have bad moments, trust me. You know, we all have times where we yell at our kids or do things that we regret. And for me, the most important thing that I can do at that point is to tell my kids that I made a mistake, apologize for it, and try to move on. Right? When I do something that I'm upset about, do I apologize to you and tell you I was wrong?
Yes,
I do. That's right. And that what happens when we make a mistake?
We try to fix it.
We try to fix it, and then we learn from it. Right?
Right.
That's good job. See, I did something right.
But that's what's so important is just, I think, as a parent, to just recognize that nobody's perfect, because like just humans in general, none of us are perfect. And I think so we're always trying to, which I think in a way is good. We're always trying to work towards perfection. We should always be trying to become better people in all things, you know, no matter what stage of life you are, no matter whether it's in your job, you're always trying to become a better person. And I imagine that it must be really hard to be a parent because it is such a big job. I mean, you're raising the future and there's so much on the line with that. And there are so many books out there and so many opinions and you should do this, you shouldn't do that. And it really comes down to like, you have to know your kids. And we talked about this on the episode that my sisters were on. And we got a lot of comments from it actually, where people thought that one of the most profound things that came up on that was that our parents didn't treat us as equals. They treated us as individual people.
Exactly. Because you are. I mean, I could tell you right now, my boys could not be more different from each other if they tried.
Right.
They have such humongously different interests, personalities, sizes, everything. They're just so different from each other. And to try and make the one fit into the other's box isn't fair to either one of them.
Mm.
It's tough.
Yeah, but it's like identifying who your child is and working alongside them, even like you were talking about like sleeping and different things.
Sure.
Like every baby is going to be different and you know, you have to have confidence in yourself and know that like you know best for your baby and for your child than anybody else.
And I think that's one of the hardest things out there for moms, because even when they think that they are confident that they're doing the right thing, they're getting messages all from every angle. Nope, you're not doing it right. Nope, you're not doing it right. Nope, you're not doing it right. Even if they know deep down, but this is the best. I mean, when Patrick was born, you know, the thing that they talk about in the hospital with feeding babies at this point is breast is best. They want you to breastfeed. It's the most important thing to do for your children. It's the healthiest thing. Well, it didn't come easy to me. And I remember with him being 2 weeks old and going to the doctor, and he hadn't gained weight, and they wanted me to start supplementing, and I was a hysterical mess. I'm crying. I'm in pain. My baby's not growing. What am I doing wrong? You know, what is wrong with me? How come I can't do this? It comes naturally to everybody. How come it's not to me? And then once I finally gave him his first supplemented bottle, and I realized that the kid sucked down like 7 ounces. I only produced 2. Like the poor kid just needs more than I have. And so I went through the next few months giving as much as I could produce, and then, you know, topping it off with formula. And I learned to be okay with it, but I really struggled because so many people had something to say about it. So many people were like, no, you can't, don't supplement, or go back and pump more and do this. And it becomes this emotional like roller coaster. It's so hard and so frustrating. It's hard enough to be a brand new mom. We shouldn't have this kind of pressure on us on top of it. And it's, you know, it's not just feeding, it's everything, sleeping and, you know, diapering and, you know, are you doing this right? Are you doing that right? You should have seen the look on people's faces when we told them we're going to cloth diaper Patrick. Like, you're absolutely nuts. You're crazy.
So 70s.
Right. So what are you thinking? And, you know, at the time, we had just at the last minute and the 11th hour decided that I was going to be a stay-at-home mom. And so we were trying to figure out any way we could to kind of save a little bit of money so we could make that work. And we thought that that would be a good way to do it. It worked great with Patrick. We loved it. Then Kellen was born. Kellen couldn't wear cloth diapers. It just didn't work with him. He was a kid who was really sensitive, and the moment he used his diaper, he was uncomfortable, and he used his diaper about every 15 minutes. So it became like, okay, I can't keep up with this, whereas a disposable diaper on him was a little easier because he'd at least, you know, I could go more than 15 minutes between changes. But, you know, just I think parents just struggle so much trying to figure out what is best. And I think if we listened a little less to everything around us and a little more to our own intuition and our own instinct, we'd realize that we're already doing what's best.
You mentioned a couple of things there, but what would your advice be to other moms who are out there, no matter what stage, maybe new moms, maybe moms who have boys similar to your, or just children who are similar ages to yours? What would your advice be to other moms?
Number one, listen to yourself. Like, if you think that this is what they need, then listen to it. Working with the schools, I knew so many moms who thought maybe their child needed extra help but didn't pursue it because, you know, the teachers said otherwise, or medical issues. You know, I've met parents who thought their child had a medical issue and the doctor said, no, they're fine. And it turns out if they would have just listened to their own intuition and their own instincts, they would have known even beforehand. So I think the number one is listen to yourself, your own intuition, your own instincts. Nobody knows your child better than you do. Number two is really, this is a short ride. Have fun. Don't take it all so seriously. You know, roll in the mud with them. Have a food fight. Do crazy, silly things, because it's so fast you can clean up the mess. You know, and then I think the last one is just be kind to yourself too. Give yourself a break. None of us are perfect, you know, and just because we have moments where we're not perfect, it doesn't mean you're, you know, ruining your kid for the rest of their life. You know, I always hear the parents that say, oh, my kid's going to need therapy for, you know, when they're an adult. No, most of the time, everybody is going to grow up and be just fine.
Right.
You know, kids are fairly resilient. So, you just, you know, I think as long as you're honest with yourself and honest with your kids, they'll kind of show them that we're learning just as they're learning. You'll be just fine.
But yeah. And to take time for yourself. You kind of mentioned it there at the end.
Yep.
And I think that's good advice for any woman who's out there, is like, we all need a break from time to time, and to do something just to treat yourself, you know, to go and get a manicure or a massage, just something that kind of change. If you're having a rough day,
yep.
And I'm sure that's hard, you know, with kids, but even to like pass the kids off to your husband or a babysitter or whatever, and just like either go get dinner with a friend or just have a break. Because
yep.
I think a lot of women, we can handle so much, but we often like try to be the absolute hero of
exactly.
the story. So
exactly.
to take care of yourself.
And even if, like, I know I have a lot of friends that don't have access to babysitters, their husbands work long hours. Something that I would do, I would just get up 30 minutes before everybody else and just walk. Just go for a walk outside in the silence.
Yeah.
And you know, for me, that was the way I could get away for a few minutes. But, you know, find anything. Have a, you know, put the kids to bed and read a book in the bathtub or whatever you can do to make yourself relax a little, you know.
Dawn, what have you learned about yourself by being a mom, through being a mom?
Oh, my goodness. So I feel like, you know, every stage of life you come to, you kind of change a little bit. Becoming a mom has actually made me a better person as far as behavior, because I'm now feeling like I'm constantly setting an example for my kids. So, you know, we talk a lot about, I try really hard not to lie. I try really hard not to you know, say negative things about people. I try really hard to, you know, keep myself in check because just like them, I expect this from them. So I should follow suit. I don't want to be a hypocrite. You know, it's kind of a big deal.
Kellen had an introduction or introductory remark.
Sorry. He's asking me how to spell his brother's name. They're drawing.
So I love how real this podcast is right now. This is exactly how I wanted it.
I was a little worried when you were like, yeah, the boys can come in too. Okay.
We have fidget spinners. We have everything on this.
Goldfish crackers. Yeah. Smelly markers.
Books, right. Drawing. It's real. But yeah, I think like you learn so, and I think as a woman in all stages of life, being open to however you're supposed to be learning in that moment.
Exactly.
It's, and growing.
Exactly. I mean, and that's what we have to do is, you know, we every day, just like anybody, every day is a new day and it's going to bring us new things. And what do we want? We want to better ourselves. We want to continue to grow throughout our lives, you know, so it comes. I think becoming a mother of any or a parent at all, it's kind of a push in that direction. Like, okay, here you go. You've got people watching you all the time now, whether you want them to or not. So you better watch what you're doing and what you're saying and give, you know, show them the right way to do it. So.
And just to be open, I think is so important, to be open to those. And it can be painful. Like the growth can be painful. And I'm sure there are hard moments when, you know, you're going through a difficult time or you're really feeling that growth. Growth is always difficult and there's always like pain that comes alongside of it. Yeah. But like the result is so beautiful.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, we all have days. This morning is an example. I was mad at one of the kids and I was kind of rough with him on the way to school and then I drop him off at school and he's not affected, but I spent the morning like on the verge of tears, like, oh my goodness, I hope he's not at school worried about this and all upset. Of course he's not. He's fine. He's having a great time with his friends, but I'm the one that's sitting at home, you know, with a little teardrop falling down my, you know, trying to prep for my music class and thinking of him only. And, you know, I pick him up and how are you doing? Are you okay? He's like, what are you talking about? What? I was in trouble this morning? I don't remember. Oh, of course not. Of course you don't.
It's also like one of my friends describes the differences between men and women as women are spaghetti, so everything is connected to everything else.
Yes.
And then men are like made up of little boxes, and it's not like anything negative. It just is.
Right.
So men can just be like, and boys can just be like, put things in a box and be done with it. And like women, it's like everything is connected. So yep. I'm sure this morning there were like different things that happened, and then it reminds you of what happened, and then earlier, and then you like feel bad, and then all these things. It's like everything is connected to everything else.
100%. It's so funny because I used to ask my husband, you know, silly questions when we were dating, first married. Like we'd be in the car and he'd be silent for a long period of time. I'd be like, what are you thinking about, honey? And he'd be like, nothing. I'd be like, no, you're not thinking about nothing. And it took me years before I realized, no, he really is thinking about nothing.
There's a nothing box.
Right.
There's a nothing box. Women are always thinking about a million things.
Women don't have the capacity to think about nothing. Never in my entire life have I thought about nothing. Right.
Right.
So recently I asked the boys the same question, like, what are you thinking about? Nothing. And it like, okay, oh my goodness, that's right. I forget. You are a boy. You have that capacity to actually think about nothing. It must be really peaceful, huh?
I know. When does that happen? I wish I had like an off switch so I could just like go and relax different places. No, like even you go and do relaxing things and it's like you're thinking about your grocery list.
Oh my goodness.
You're thinking about all the other things that are going on.
I was at a massage. I'm thinking about, okay, oh, wait, you know, okay. I wonder what when the massage therapist got, you know, her degree in this, or I wonder what kind of lotion she uses. I wonder, you know, I just start thinking about.
Yeah, we think about all the different things because, I don't know why, but we just do.
Right.
Boys, do you want to come back on? Do you want to talk a little bit on the podcast?
Yep.
Can I ask you some questions? You got to talk right into the mic. Kellen's getting his headphones on. Are you ready? You got to talk right into the mic, like as close as you can put up. Say hello.
Hello.
All right. We can hear you. So tell me about your mom. What's the best thing about your mom?
Sometimes she...
One at a time.
Helps us with things we don't know how to do.
She helps us with things we don't know how to do. That's right. What about you, Kellen?
She helps us with our homework.
She helps you with your homework. That's so good.
She loves us.
She does love you so much. Is she the best mom in the world?
Yes.
Yeah.
She makes bad choices.
Sometimes your mom says she makes bad choices, but then she says, I'm sorry, right? So did you learn from her?
Yes.
So you do the same thing when you're at school, you say, I'm sorry. Yeah.
We can say yes.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm sure that's just because we were just talking about mom making bad choices.
But it's, I mean,
true.
Everybody makes bad choices, right?
It's true. Yep.
So you just have to apologize and say, I'm sorry. And then you move on and you get better, right?
That's right.
That's what you have to do.
So in our house, often if you make a bad choice, you get a consequence. So there have been times when you guys have given me consequences for my bad choices, haven't you?
Yes.
Yes.
A lot. Lots of. Like hundreds.
Okay, let's like not
hundreds.
Get carried away
wow.
now, guys.
Thousand million.
All right.
Since we're so close to Christmas, I really want to ask you about Irish, your elf on the shelf. For everybody who's listening, I'm sure a lot of people who are listening, they have an elf on the shelf. But you have a particularly bad elf, right?
Yep.
Irish. What did Irish do this morning? Oh, Kellen wants to go. All right, Kellen, tell us what Irish did. You got to speak right up to the mic.
He made a bed out of tissues.
What? So he took all the tissues out of the tissue box and he made a bed for himself.
And what happened to all the tissues?
They needed to get thrown away.
We need to throw all them away. Mommy had to clean up all, and they were all over the couch and
what?
And the floor.
What?
In the living room.
Did he what? Kind of make it rain tissues?
Yep.
Yeah.
What's the worst thing he's done so far? I know he's done a lot of bad things. All right.
He has...
Oh, one at a time. You tell me first, Patrick.
He has wrapped... tried to trap us in our rooms for days.
He tried to trap you in... Oh, yeah, because he took wrapping paper and he put it on your doors so you couldn't get out. That's crazy.
We needed to run through it.
You did. Kellen, what was yours?
And he put underwear on a Christmas tree.
He put your underwear on Christmas tree? What? He is a particularly bad elf.
He is very naughty. I tell them every day I wish he would just stay at the North Pole, but he doesn't listen to me.
Well, at least he's being bad and you're being really good, right? I know you guys are both being really good. And now there's a fidget spinner going on the table.
You never know what you're going to get.
You never know, but this is awesome. Dawn, what advice would you give to other people? I know like so many different people. What can we do to support moms throughout their journey as moms? I think a lot of times we don't even think about that. What are little things that we can do for moms or friends that we have that are moms in our community?
Honestly, I think just to recognize them, give them accolades, tell them they're doing a great job. Tell them you see them. You see, you know, how they're really working hard and they're struggling and, you know, give them a pat on the back. Offer to come watch their kids.
It's amazing.
Get out for a little bit. But that's it. I think moms just want to be noticed, listened to, stuff like that. That's really it.
Kellen, did you have something to say about moms? What can we do to help moms in our...
can do polite things for them.
Yeah, what do you do? What good things do you do for your mom to take care of her?
We make her breakfast sometimes.
They do. They make amazing breakfasts for me.
Like, what do you make?
Waffles with strawberries, whipped cream, chocolate sauce.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
With a cherry on top, too.
Yeah. It was much better than the Nutella and goldfish sandwich you made me that one morning. I mean, that was delicious, but the waffles were way better. Thank you.
Kellen, what do you do for your mom? What nice things do you do for your mom?
I made her sometimes I make her a sandwich.
Oh, that's nice.
Do you guys make me pictures and art all the time too?
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
Do you ever let me sleep in?
No.
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 That would be a nice
all.
Thing you could do for me, though, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. What can other kids who are listening to this podcast, what can other kids do to do nice things for their moms?
Maybe make them a card when they're not feeling good.
Say it right here.
They can make a card for their mom when they're not feeling good.
Yeah. Or just in general, right? They could just, any day, they could just make a card. What about you, Kellen? What should other kids do for their moms?
They should make a present.
Make a present? Well, I mean, Christmas is coming up, so they can get their mom a nice present, right? Because you had at your school, you had where you could buy gifts, right? You bought your mom a nice gift. We don't have to say what it is. It'll be a surprise.
Yeah, don't tell me. Patrick, every year, he tells me every detail about it without actually telling me what it is. He gets so excited.
There's eating pretzels, hanging out in the studio.
Reading a book.
About sharks.
This is probably the most interesting podcast you've ever had.
It is. I'm sure it's the best one that Jess has ever done.
Right?
It's definitely the most adorable. I'll tell you that.
Dawn, let's close on what are some of their resources out there? And maybe it's just like simple things like Facebook. I feel like you always are like seeing things on Facebook. But like as a mom, what are really helpful resources? Maybe resources for other moms?
So I would say for new moms, the first thing that we got involved in is our hospital had parent groups for families who all have babies around the same time. And that was the first place I made friends. Then just checking like your local library. They usually have classes like library story time, or they have other information about local resources. It's a great place to start. Facebook's always a great place. There's almost always mommy Facebook pages in your city. There's all, you know, any community centers, they usually have information as to what's out there. You know, it's really just a matter of kind of asking around. If you see another mom at the grocery store, introduce yourself and be like, I was just wondering, do you know if there's any meetups or anything that we can do? And just checking it out. It's really just research, you know, it's all the stuff that we did when we were in college, looking around and seeing what's out there.
Well, and even like you said before, too, is like look for opportunities to just join something or like take a chance and like go to a mommy and baby group or a mommy and baby yoga. Or there's so many different resources out there like that.
Even if your kid's not old enough to walk, going to the playground, you're going to find other moms there. And chances are they might have a younger kid as well as an older kid that, you know, or they'll know of places to send you to. I can't tell you how many times I've met moms and sent them to the library story time or to, you know, the open play time or things like that. You know, it's just a matter of talking to people. It's hard. I know sometimes like, you know, you take your dirty yoga pants and your messy hair and, you know, you haven't showered in 3 days and you think trying to talk to somebody's going to be awful. But, you know, if you can just meet one person, they could, you know, kind of send you down the road to meeting more. So,
well, Dawn, thank you so much for joining the One Girl Revolution podcast.
Thank you so much. This has been such a fun time.
And thank you, Kellen. And thank you, Patrick.
Can you guys say thank you?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming.
You know what? I don't think we ever told everybody what the connection between you and Patrick is either.
I thought I said. Did I say that he's my godson? Patrick is my godson.
No.
And you are such a blessing, such a gift to us. So is Kellen. Kellen's like honorary. I don't know if he calls me Godmama Kate.
He does.
As well.
Yeah, because
I am Godmama Kate. So
we
like
tried
honorary.
To have him call you Aunt Kate, and that just wasn't going to happen because his brother calls you Godmama Kate. So you're Godmama Kate to him too.
It's a good name. Yeah. Well, thanks guys so much for joining the One Girl Revolution podcast.
Thank you.
And thank you all for listening to this week's episode of the One Girl Revolution podcast. Join the revolution on Facebook at facebook.com/onegirlrev and message me on Twitter at Ms. Kate Bryan. We will post a link to the show once it's up and all the show notes. Thanks again for joining us for this episode of One Girl Revolution.